It is now my great pleasure and a distinct honor to introduce to you Juan Tomas Hernani, Spain's General Secretary for Innovation. Secretary Hernani brings a very rich experience to his current responsibilities. First and foremost, he is not a lawyer. Secondly, he served as general director of a number of companies for a substantial period of time and was the founder and CEO of Keon Azurtia, a leading enterprise technology communications company. He's a member of a number of boards in fields as diverse as information technology, food, fashion and design, biotechnology, and real estate. He's worked with a small company called Hewlett-Packard and with the Basque Energy Board. But that's not the end of his many accomplishments. He is has been the secretary of the Metalingua UNESCO Foundation, which helps preserve the diversity of languages around the world. The fact that he is of Basque heritage, I'm sure, has nothing to do with this interest. But he's also done really hard things. He teaches marketing and e-business at the Finance School of the University of Deusto. And I also understand, in something that really does distinguish him from many of us, that he is an accomplished amateur opera singer. Consequently, he will deliver his entire presentation. In all seriousness, we are very, very pleased to have Minister Hernani here. We think the things that he has to say, looking at what they're doing in Spain and their innovation system, is of genuine interest to the United States and an important lesson as they've advanced in renewable technologies, but also in their innovation governance and funding. Please join me in welcoming State Secretary Hernani.
Dr. Wessner, Director of Technology, Innovation and Enterprise from the National Academies, authorities, ladies and gentlemen. I am extremely pleased and honored to be this afternoon with you in such a privileged audience to try to share with you the last political movements and policies that we have put in place in Spain to face the challenge of innovation. But before that, and because Dr. Wessner was referring to my Basque origin, I would like to tell you a small story about entrepreneurship, which you may have not heard because it may not be true. And in the late 20s, a group of over 50 Basque entrepreneurs that hardly spoke Spanish and didn't, of course, speak English at all, took a transatlantic ship to come to the U.S., they went to Washington, they selected a very good hotel. They realized that they needed a guide because they didn't speak English at all. So they were supposed to meet the guide at 8 a.m. at the hotel entrance. So they got together at 7:45. They waited until 8 o'clock. No one was there. At 8:05, they were extremely nervous. 7:15, they were totally desperate, and they thought they needed an action. 15 minutes late was not standable for these entrepreneurs. So they got all together, and they decided that if they were grouped, nothing could fear them. So they entered this rolling door from the hotel, and in fact, they all got killed because they got asphyxiated. And you know, this may not be true, but this has provided an English proverb to all of you, which is, don't put all the Basques in the same exit. And I think we can learn three things out of this story. The first is, being an entrepreneur is really risky. The second is, a guide is really a good idea. And the third is, we have to minimize the risks of a single exit. Okay. With this small story, let me tell you that my country, basic figures are that we are a population of 45.5 million inhabitants. We have a GDP, a very nice GDP of 1 trillion. That makes indexes extremely simple to figure out what is the size of any sector. The GDP per capita is roughly 24,000 euros per person, and we have 19% and 28% of internationalization in exports, imports, in relative terms. We have a growing sector in renewable energies, where we are occupying a leading position. It depends on which parameter you want to select, for example, the number of patents, or the reality of companies like the largest electricity company with an installed base of renewable energies, which is today present in the US, which is called Iberdrola, as you may know. We have the second largest technology manufacturer of windmills in the world, which is called Gamesa, also present in the US since recently. We have a number of very powerful banking institutions that have faced very well the last economic crisis. In fact, Spain is a very bankarized country with very powerful banking institutions. We have a thermosolar sector, which is also powerful. And we have a quite considerable power in biotechnology also. It is the second largest investment coming from the public sector in Europe. Our position in the US is now, we have 600 companies, I mentioned some of them. Of course, there is a Spanish language speaking concentration in Miami, but there's more and more companies situated all around the country. Okay, let me start mentioning that we have benefited from a period of almost 7 years where the government has continued to push public funds towards research and development. And it has almost trebled the amount that was found in 2002. That has created the first effect of science production, where we have moved from a very modest figure 10 years ago now to a powerful and substantial position of 43,000 publications per year in the E.C. Thompson Index International, which is 3.2% of the total production of science. But Spain has suffered particularly the financial crisis. And the reason for its speciality has been the huge weight of the construction sector. Only in 2007, we were consuming half the concrete of the full United States, or we were consuming more concrete than the rest of Europe altogether. So it was a huge, huge real estate bubble that is now creating problems in the financial sector because of its debt, and it has impacted in other sectors. The good thing is that this 10-year period of expansion has created five very large multinationals that today operate motorways in the United States or operate Heathrow and some key airports in Europe, or operates very big water plants in Africa, etc. So those companies have moved from construction to energy to other technology areas, and they are very big players worldwide. When we refer to innovation, we have to realize that it is a complex system. We were mentioning that during our dinner yesterday. I don't have the time to really go through 29 parameters, which is more or less the exam that a methodology for innovation is looking at. I am just referring that we have 8,500 companies that are the heart of the R&D activity, more or less double number of companies that do an in and out for research from time to time, and three times as many that do innovation activities, according to our national statistics numbers. So we have to be based on those three rings to see what are our main challenges. When we talk about innovation as the solution to overcome the crisis, I think we have to be cautious and somehow understand that this overcoming of the crisis is only the result of tens, hundreds, and thousands of small, medium, and big projects that are performed at all levels. Therefore, there is no miracle. There is not any central dispatching where we can plug a number of levers and change the economic situation. This, unfortunately, is not like that. So it is the management of a very complex system that we have to go through. The first thing we need is to try to formulate what are our objectives in terms of innovation. And let's take some basic approaches. Innovation is GDP. Innovation is the part of our economy that that is based on the new products and services in the market. And we could discuss for how long, but it is really the reality of the economy that is coming out of new products and services. If we want to face an innovation strategy, we need a baseline. It is not possible to start an innovation strategy in the desert. So we need a tissue of economy, and we need a number of strong points to build upon. So this is why I like this photo on the Challenger, to say the Challenger can take off if we have arrived to 9,000 meters altitude from the Jumbo. Otherwise, this is not possible. And this ramp, in my understanding, is based in three key parameters. The first one is the investment from the private sector. I don't think that if the private investment is really an input. The private investment reflects a commitment and typically is so much correlated with a strong result. And therefore, for us, it is an innovation parameter. Although I may not be very orthodox in this way of categorizing private expenditure. The private expenditure is extremely concentrated, 60% in fact, in the high technology sector, which represents 4.7% of our employment. Therefore, we have a second issue, and that is we have to democratize, or we have to socialize the number of sectors that can absorb innovation. We should not talk about traditional and new sectors. We should talk about economies that are able to absorb innovation and really reinvent their capacities, and other companies, more perhaps than sectors, that are not able to visualize this innovation and tend to diminish. So the number of innovative companies is a key issue for an innovation strategy. And the third issue is the employment. And this element is related to the high-tech, because we have to differentiate the strategy for the high-tech and the strategy for the whole range of sectors. We shouldn't behave the same way, because the dynamics of those two elements are very, very different. Now, the numbers are, perhaps they do not say too much for you, but is that it means we need 6 billion euros from the private sector, and in that case, Spain will be powerful in the worldwide average, according to what it should. Secondly, we need 40,000 extra companies in the Innovation Club. We are talking about companies of more than 10 employees, so that we can handle numbers which are easier to understand. And third, 500,000 employments related to innovation activities. And this is our challenge. These three indicators are the key visualizers that permit us to enter into more detail into some of the areas for the innovation policy. But we have said, what do we want to achieve? I think it's important to talk about the what and not start moving without knowing where to go. There is this proverb to say there is no favorable wind for a sailor that doesn't know where to go. Therefore, the first point is to attach the economic objective. And the second is the action plan. And the action plan is a pentagon of five vectors that have to act, have to perform simultaneously. This is a certain simplification of a very complex reality, but I think it covers the main points. I don't think we are really missing any crucial point to deliver an appropriate innovation strategy to the market. The first thing is, of course, the innovation strategy is centered in the market, and this is viabilizing or is enabling market plans for future products to happen in different ways. First is finance. We have to talk about money, and it is not trivial that finance is axis number one. Axis two is markets. Axis three is internationalization, because there is no way we could face an innovation strategy without thinking of internationalization. Axis four is territory, clusters, etc., and axis 5 is people. Let me go very quickly through them because I don't have too much time to enter into details. Finance. I depict a financial chimney of activities where we have the chops that feed the fire and perhaps some subsidizers to start this fire, but we really need a financial flow that is not struggled at any point. And I can tell you this is very much the case in many European markets. To start with, because they are small, they are too small to provide liquidity to the full chimney. And we need to connect some of those so that really the money can move from one step to the other. The crucial issue, I could talk about a number of points over here, but I will just refer to venture capital of early stages. Venture capital, there is a clear evidence, is strongly correlated to the situation of research and innovation. If venture capital is not performing sufficiently at those early stages, there is not possible, not any healthy innovation strategy. And therefore, that is our target. We want to treble the amount of funds from the government to impulse private venture capital. And our view, of course, is that the government must be there just to accompany the private decisions, and it has to be the private money, the one who selects those best projects. The second axis is the market. And we claim for innovation-based strategy from the market perspective, and that means public procurement, really. So maybe it is very useful for you, but it is not useful at all for Europe. We don't have a defense department like you do, and we are based basing our economy more in civil pools. If we compare our public funds to the public tenders or to the public GDP, you know, Europe has a strong weight from the public GDP. The result is we should concentrate really in aligning government behavior when purchasing and trying to make a policy of innovation that is really bundling the number of civil servants with purchasing responsibility. We have changed the law to achieve that. We have made it legal that one civil servant buys something that does not exist. That didn't happen in the past. And now we have a second law that is pushing the government to provide quotas towards innovative SMEs in the purchasing. We have selected four main markets, the health and welfare economy market, the green economy market, because those markets meet the possibility of the government to help when purchasing. The science industry, which is a particular small but very relevant for competitivity industry present and very, very linked to universities and science, and the modernization of the administration. Internationalization is a key issue. We could not conceive an innovation strategy that is not international. An international plan must be present from the very first line of any investment project for innovation. And we have to forget about regional innovation, national innovation, international innovation, and really provide an architecture that is pulling internationalization from the very beginning, that is promoting that an SME on biotech comes to the US the sooner the better, and that manufacturing SME perhaps goes to China the sooner the better. I don't have the time to cover all the number of internationalization access we talk about. Of course, excellence is crucial, and we want to create channels that help technology to be the propeller of internationalization of the economy. Not only commerce, but also technology agreements and technology co-developments, etc., can be one of the best ways to internationalize our economy. Okay, we have a number of agreements with a number of countries to promote that so that those channels are already established. We hope that we can get some sort of framework with the US because we really need it. Eureka is providing an umbrella for the whole of Europe together with Israel, Switzerland, and a number of countries. We have agreements with Korea, China, Japan, India, South Africa, and the whole of Iberoamerica. The fourth axis is the territory. Territory is crucial to provide the competitivity that requires global facing of competition. And this locality, it means the capacity to connect very near to your partners, neighbors, universities, is called clusters, and is called the regional policy in innovation, which we believe is really crucial. Through the sharing of this pentagon with the regions, we can understand how 40,000 new companies are going to come. They are not going to come through the federal government window, but rather there has to be a mix between regions and the national government to finalize the objective of the strategy. And I finish the fifth axis telling that people is the way to close the pentagon. We need to direct actions and policies towards innovators in order to push new companies to understand what innovation is about. I am convinced that the incorporation of a person with management innovation skills into an SME is the best way we could do for the company to understand what innovation is about, how to approach the US, how to understand the European Framework Program, how to manage patents, etc., etc. So we move 2,000 people into different programs, which represent 2,000 companies just for the movement of incorporation of people into SMEs. Okay, I don't have the time to go through that. Of course, now let me finalize talking about the plan. One strategy that is not implemented is not only useless, but it creates the controversial effect. So we require to adjust resources and political messages into a common frame. This is the way we conceive the objectives towards 2015, only 10% instead of 17.6, because it cannot be linear according to the crisis. Those three main elements of employment, number of companies, and investment is a ramp that is accommodating the different objectives along the 7 years. The Ministry of Science and Innovation is a key player in all five axes. So we put this basic machine where we put our own input and we try to get the input from other players so that both of us match together the three objectives that I understood. And just to finalize, I tell you that we are benefiting from the political commitment to do that. So we are moving from less than 1 billion that we obtained for innovation funds in 2008 to a little bit less than 2 billion in 2009. That was 1,870 to a budget that we have for this year of 3,870, almost 4 billion. So we are doubling the size of last year. We are multiplying by 4 the size of 4 years. So this makes this strategy credible to the society, and through this impulse from the government, we expect to mobilize the other actors, because the challenge is that this strategy is not the strategy of the government. It must be the strategy of the whole society. Thank you very much. We have questions?
I hadn't realized how much wealthier Spain was than the United States. But in all seriousness, how did you get the political consensus in a very difficult period to double the budget of the CDTI? And those are essentially innovation and research funds, if I'm not mistaken. And could you also describe some of your programs? If I remember from our discussions, you make very substantial awards of 1 million or 2 million euros, which for those of you who haven't been to Europe, you have to multiply by 1.3, sometimes 1.8, but in any case.
Okay. First, the issue of the budget. I think we have transferred the message to the government that innovation is about enabling business plans and enabling wealth. So we have one window which is the science window, which is based basically on subsidizes and is basically, or it has a strong correlation with the public sector, and of course also the, some private universities which are not as important in Spain. And the second window is the window for innovation, market-centered. And therefore we think that our basic tools have to be capital and credits. And this message was well understood by our Treasury Department, so that we could grow because we were aligned with the message of loans and investments and not by a message of grants. This would have been impossible if we were asking the Treasury to provide us more money in subsidizes. This was not the case. So that was explained the bet of our president towards innovation. The second issue is, I don't have the time to explain the main programs, but I have to tell you that we did a little revolution inside the ministry because we had different instruments that were created in the last years, and no one killed any of those, but they were eating the similar budget, and they were we were suffering a huge fragmentation, which oriented those instruments towards the type of beneficiary. So the ministry was more or less with a mentality of delivering a budget to a number of collectives and not with a mentality of enabling the development of new markets. So we have concentrated all our elements into three basic columns. One is infrastructures. So we finance infrastructures for innovation, basically in technology parks, on science parks. Secondly is people. So we finance people movement and from abroad to Spain, from the university to the company, so that we can create this flow of innovators, because we believe that the best technology transfer is done through people. It's not done through contracts, but it's really done through people. And the third column is the projects. And in the projects, we are talking about innovation. We say you can come with a private company project, and then you have a solution, or you can come with a PPP from the university and from the company, and we finance differently the university that is collaborating with the company and the company. But we are never 100% financing the, via subsidized to the university, and we expect that the university agrees with the company the rest of the costs against the future results. So we try to push the risk culture in the universities. This is very important for us. I know that you are in a different stage and you are quite used to that, but really discussing about royalties, discussing about sharing of future results is very important. So we provide the subsidizers to our research system only if they join to a business plan and the company gets the loan that requires to develop the loan or the capital that requires to develop the project. We try not to eat or absorb part of the current credit capacity of a company, of course, because if they have to provide a guarantee to the government, then they will not have perhaps a guarantee to finance suppliers. This has to be an additionality. And this is a very narrow window between the responsibility of the public money and the additionality for the company. But I think there is a reasonable window to perform.
Anne Liebschutz, United States-Israel Science Technology Foundation. Our organization was actually spun out of a U.S. Department of Commerce, Ministry of Industry, Trade, and Israel initiative to promote research and development frameworks between the U.S. and Israel. So my question is going to go back to your slide about Spain's framework programs that it has with all other countries, but the many countries, but the United States. I know that the office, which is known as the Matimop office in Israel, which is the interface for the Spain-Israel framework agreements, for the Eureka framework agreements, I know their office is constantly trying to figure out how to enter into framework programs with the United States government comparable to what it has with Eureka and every other and many other companies, countries. So I would be interested in hearing what Spain's strategy is for approaching the U.S. government to have comparable framework programs like within your, like they have with South America, like they have with Eureka, in light of the U.S. government's the fact that so much activity is scattered across all the different agencies, evidenced by the fact that here this topic, SBIR, today, you know, is run across a multitude of agencies. So what is Spain doing? What is Spain's thoughts and strategies and approach on trying to develop framework agreements with the United States?
Okay, thanks very much for the question. I think that the title of my travel, if it were one, is that we have to solve the connection to the U.S. The U.S. is the main source of science and patents in the world. You will see it with proximity with your problems, but we see it with admiration from the other side of the Atlantic. And this is not standable for a strategy of innovation, which I think is perhaps honestly one of the best that is performing today in Europe. And is claiming that internationalization is third axis. So our duty is to try to find the connection. The reason I understand very well the reason for which there is no connection in place today, and that is, on the one hand, your own political system, more or less distributed, and not so easy. We don't have one telephone line at the other side of the Atlantic. It's more or less dispersed. I think SBIR can be a first point, and we have to understand what could be the internationalization of this issue, of this program, and how could we connect, not via subsidizing projects in both sides, because this is, in fact, even no longer happening in Spain, but rather finding out other ways, like venture capital connections, credits for certain joint activities, also looking at university company schemas in both ways. So I think we have to provide a flexible picture, and we have to provide a solution. This is a duty that I take for personally.
Hi, I'm Derek Hill from National Science Foundation. I was curious to get your insight into your strategy. Your innovation strategy is very ambitious, and you obviously are part of the EU and you participate in the framework agreement, but how much of the increase in your activities is planned sort of to in coordination with the EU or in cooperation versus how much of it is standalone? And if your sort of independent activities, do you see that as possibly duplicating other efforts in EU countries, or is that a good thing because it encourages competition between EU countries?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, I think you from the US have the problem that do not understand the European architecture of programs and so on, because it's very complex. And we, on our side, have exactly the same problem. So I think the analysis is quite clear. It is not true that there are projects that have to happen at the regional level or just at the national, and then we have a European level. This is a wrong architecture. We have small, medium, and big projects, and sometimes we have big regional projects, and sometimes we have small European projects, and this is wrong. So we need, in fact, a simple plug connection that connects the targets, accepts that we have global challenges, at least European challenges, that have to be shared in a single way. So in Spain we have one agency for innovation. It's very simple. In Sweden there is one agency for innovation, and in France there is two, a little bit more complex. But when we go into Europe, we have at least 100 ways, 100 connections, depending on the topic, depending on the number of countries that participate. It's called ERANET, ERANET Plus, Eureka, Article 169, JTIs, Article 171, and so on, so on, so. So in our presidency, we have four main objectives, and the first one is called simplification, and we are saying we need a single plug to connect the budgets and the targets. And we expect Europe to top up the national funds to stimulate the internationalization of our own projects. And no more. to what extent are we going to succeed? I'm sure we are going to go one step ahead. I'm sure we are not going to succeed in the terms I am telling. But we are speaking crystal clear to the Commission that this is our first objective. The second is the European Innovation Plan. So Europe is talking also about lead markets, is also talking about capital risk, etc. But it's talking, it's not acting. So we are telling Europe for the European Innovation Plan that we need a Pentagon like this one. This Pentagon must be structured into European funds for venture capital. It must be structured into a public procurement from Europe that creates a higher casuistic. We are talking about internationalization between Europe. That means a connected governance. We are talking about clusters, and we are talking about people, to say we need people movement that are able to cross frontiers. And if these 2,000 people that I'm mentioning were Finnish, German, Irish, etc., coming to our companies, the effect would be immediately to have a landscape of SMEs that are truly international. So we want the Commission to act.
Thank you very much. Come forward, and I hope that compelling address was underscored why we in our program think it is incredibly important to look out from the United States at what the rest of the world is doing, and to build bridges to countries that bring friendship, that bring shared objectives, and bring resources for cooperation. All those things are things that are in short supply in the world today.